get on. In the meantime, please be in prayer one for another, in prayer for our missionaries, in prayer for our country, our church family. So Sunday school will be in this format, but church at 11 will be a more churchy type format. We'll just give a couple minutes here for everyone to join. Welcome, James. Welcome, Rachel. Welcome, Nikki. Welcome, Roy. Welcome, John and Mandy and Robin. Welcome. So again, be in prayer one for another. Remember, we have Vanessa and Daryl and Isa Hermano and Philip all in the health related areas. So just for their protection, pray for Mikey, who's currently trapped in Germany, Caleb in Australia. Pray for Brother John Ralston, who's working over this break, and John Murray asked us if we would pray for him as well. So I think we're probably about ready to get started. Like I say, the 11 o'clock hour will be a bit more churchy. We're trying to set it up to look proper like church, and we'll sing a song together. But for Sunday school, we'll just dive in. Now, I'll be looking at the screen as I teach, just to see if anybody has any questions or comments along the way. So feel free to type those in, as just as if we were in class together, and then we'll I'll answer those as we go, or comment on those or whatever. Okay. So, as you know, we started a series 2 weeks ago on the doctrines of salvation, and we looked the first 2 weeks at faith and repentance. There in Acts chapter 20, it says, teaching repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And today, I want to continue on this theme of the doctrines of salvation and talk about the grace of God, but only in relation to salvation. We've already talked about, when we talked about the moral attributes of God, we talked about His grace. But this morning, I want to talk about grace in relation to our salvation, and what a part that has. Because remember, we live in the age of grace, praise God. And just to confirm that, let's go to John chapter 1, verse 17, if we could. Turn in your Bibles. Get my Bible here. John 1:17, and just have a quick peek. And the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ brought in, notice the Bible says that, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So Jesus brought in the age of grace. And then if you would go to Acts chapter 20 and verse 24, the Apostle Paul, in referring to the gospel that we preach, I want you to see how he referred to it here in Acts chapter 20, verse 24. He says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. So Paul refers to the gospel that we preach as the gospel of the grace of God. And then, just to drive it home, go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2, if you would. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2, quickly. And we'll see that this is, you know, when you hear people talk about us living in the age of grace, that's because it's what the Bible said. Note Ephesians 3, verse 2. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward. So we live in the dispensation of the grace of God. Praise God. And you've heard me say this, but If you could choose any of the dispensations to be born in, this would be the one. This is the one, not the tribulation period, not the time of the law, not even during the kingdom, when we see that at the end of the kingdom so many people turn against the Lord. But to be born in the age of grace is such a blessing, and we should praise God for it. But so we see that we live in the age of grace. I want us to see now quickly that grace and works cannot be mixed. Because we're talking about salvation, we're talking about the doctrines of salvation in relation to salvation. Grace is how we are saved, through God's grace. And you cannot mix them. So go to Romans 11, verse 6, and I'll show you this. It's a bit of a tongue twister, this verse, but Paul makes it very clear that you cannot mix grace and works. So notice Romans 11, 6. The Bible says, "And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work." So Paul is saying here, he's primarily speaking to the Jews, of course, about the law, but he's saying you cannot mix grace and works. Salvation is by one or the other. Now, if you want to earn your salvation by works, go for it. It just means you have to be perfect, never sin once, keep the law perfectly, the entire law, and you'll go to heaven. The problem is none of us can do that. We've all sinned. So what Paul is saying is it has to be only of grace or only of works. Then, of course, the very familiar passage, we don't even need to turn there. We all know it. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So again, salvation, grace is the opposite of works, and we are saved only by the grace of God. And then if you would look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 21. Turn over to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 21. And you'll see again that you have to be only saved by grace. Notice Galatians 2:21. "I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." So there it is. If righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So two things we've established so far in talking about grace in relation to salvation. Number one, this dispensation in which we live is the dispensation of the grace of God. Jesus brought in grace. Number two, it is the opposite of works. But now I want us to look at number three, that what grace, what it really means is that salvation is a gift. Now we all know this, but it's because of God's grace. Now a lot of people have tried to come up with ways to define grace. It's a tough word to define, honestly. Some people have called it, used an acrostic, God's riches at Christ's expense. Some people call it God's unmerited favor. All those things are true. But grace is one of those words that's really hard to define. But in relation to salvation, which is what we're talking about this morning, grace means that God's salvation, which we'll be talking over the next few weeks, what that really means, what is God's salvation, is purely a gift. Now let's look at Romans chapter 5, which this passage really drives this home. I wish I could have you all take turns reading these. We can't do that, can we? Romans chapter 5, go to verse 15. This passage, 15 through 18, I want you to see a common word that drives this point home. So go to Romans chapter 5 and verse 15, if you would. And look what it says. "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. What I want you to see in this passage, in these four verses, Romans 5, 15 to 18, is how many times the word gift shows up. I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times God uses the word gift in referring to our salvation. But I also wanted you to see that he talks there in verses 15, 16. He says, the grace of God and the gift by grace. On down, he says, the abundance of grace and of the gift. So when we're talking about God's grace in relation to our salvation, what it really means for us as God's children is that our salvation is a gift. It's something that God gives to us, not something that we deserve, not something that we can ever earn. It's something that God offers to us as a gift. And praise God for that great truth. One more verse or passage, Ephesians chapter 2, if you would. Most of us are very familiar with verses 8 and 9, but I want us to look at the whole context of the passage, verses 4 through 9 of Ephesians 2. So let's turn over there if we could. Ephesians chapter 2. So again, we're talking about the doctrines of salvation. We talked about repentance and faith in the past 2 weeks. This morning, we're talking about God's grace. In future weeks, we're going to be talking about the many beautiful doctrines of salvation like justification, redemption, sanctification, propitiation, and so forth. But this morning, we're talking about God's grace. And the three things we've established this morning so far are, number one, we live in the age of grace, or the dispensation of the grace of God. Number two, grace is the opposite of works. But number three, grace means, what it really means for us is that salvation is a gift. So look at Ephesians chapter 2, where you should have turned, verse 4. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, parentheses, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace ye are saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So notice, again, it drives home the point that we're saved by grace. And it talks about the exceeding riches of his grace. And then it mentions that we are literally saved by grace, but it says it is the gift of God. Now that Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 is such a wonderful passage because it touches on all these separate doctrines. It says not of works, so it teaches that grace is the opposite of works. It talks about salvation being a gift, but it also mentions that we are literally saved by grace, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. So when we're talking about salvation, grace in relation to our salvation, what it really means for us as God's children is that grace offers salvation to you and I purely as a gift. God offers it to us. No way we can pay for it. No way we can earn it. God's just good. Hallelujah. So we'll just look at a few more scriptures together just to again drive home this point that we are saved exclusively by the grace of God and not by works. So let's go to Acts 15 where it's first mentioned during the growth of the church. So go if you would over to Acts chapter 15 verse 11. Turn over there in your Bibles and notice what they're saying here. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved even as they. So this is talking about how the Jews are now coming to the realization that Gentiles can also be saved. And they're saying, we now believe, we now understand that the Gentiles can also be saved, even like the Jews. But it also says that it's through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you would go to Romans chapter 3 and verse 24, and we're going to see some other doctrines mentioned that we'll be looking at in the future when we talk about these doctrines of salvation. But notice 3:24 says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, there's two other doctrines I'm going to be looking at in the future, justification and redemption. But notice it says freely. It's an important word. We just talked about and drove home the point that we are, that grace is a gift. And sure enough, it says justified freely. So God justifies us or makes us righteous, which again we'll talk about in the future, by His grace. So what grace really means for you and I as Christians, as children of God, is that salvation is a gift from God. Now let's go over to Romans 5, if you would, Romans chapter 5. And again, we're just finishing up the fact that our salvation is purely by the grace of God. We live in the age of grace. Grace is the opposite of works. And what grace really means for us as Christians is that our salvation is purely a gift from our Lord. Notice Romans chapter 5, verse 20. The Bible says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." Isn't that beautiful? Grace reigned through righteousness unto eternal life. So what God is saying is He gives us the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which is called justification or imputation, which is another doctrine we'll be talking about. And the Bible says that it reigns unto eternal life, but it reigns because of grace. And then to go to Ephesians 1:7, we'll look at another great verse that shows us that our salvation is purely by the grace of God, which means it's a gift. God offers it to us because of on the merits of what Jesus Christ did. Notice Ephesians 1:7, "In whom we have redemption," so another doctrine we'll be looking at in the future, "through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace." So it's because of the riches of God's grace that we have redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ. The riches of His grace. Praise God. So we looked at repentance. We looked at faith. Now today we're looking at grace as the third doctrine of salvation. We've established that we live in the age of grace. We've established that our salvation, or that grace is the opposite of works, and that our salvation is a gift because of the grace of God. And finally, we're showing here that it's purely by the grace of God that we're saved. But go to Titus chapter 2, verse 11. We'll look at a couple more scriptures together. Again, if you have any questions or comments, feel free to type them on the screen, and we will, and I'll be happy to answer those. So far, a lot of people have just said good morning. Good morning to you too. Titus 2:11. Notice what it says: "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." We serve a gracious God, a God who is willing to give us salvation that we do not deserve, purely on the merits of what Jesus Christ did at Calvary. We live in the age of grace, and the grace of God brings us salvation. Let's go to a couple more. Go to Titus chapter 3, verse 7, if we could. And we're talking about the grace of God in relation to our salvation. We looked at repentance and faith. Today we're looking at grace. I could have a peek here and tell you what the next one's going to be. Let me pull that up. What our next doctrine's going to be. I should have had that up already. It looks like next will be regeneration. That'll be next week. We'll talk about regeneration. What does that mean? It means the new birth. What does it mean to become a new creature? So that'll be next week. All right, so continuing. Titus chapter 3, verse 7. "That being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life, justified by His grace. So again, another doctrine we'll be looking at in the future is the doctrine of justification, along with these many other doctrines we've mentioned. But so what we've established this morning, we're talking about the doctrines of salvation. We looked at repentance 2 weeks ago. We looked at faith last week. This morning we're looking at grace. What does grace mean in relation to our salvation? And what we've established is that we live in the dispensation of the grace of God, that grace is the exact polar opposite of works. You cannot mix them. That what grace really means for us when it comes to salvation is that it's a gift from God. And then lastly, we're looking at these many scriptures that show all that God does for us purely because He is a gracious God. So notice we see here in Titus 3:7 that being justified by His grace. Again, justification, one of the doctrines we'll be looking at in the future. Said we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So we are justified by His grace. We're not justified through our own merits, our own works, or our own accomplishments. We're justified because God is a gracious God and chooses to justify us through what Jesus did, purely because of grace. And then let's go to one more. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, if we could. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. As we finish establishing this great truth that we are saved by grace. So notice Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, if you would. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. And notice what it says. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. What a beautiful verse. Jesus tasted death for every man by the grace of God. So let us not forget that our God is gracious, and that if it wasn't for the grace of God, we would have no hope of ever being saved. That we are very blessed people, that we were born in the age of grace, that grace means that our salvation is purely a gift from the Lord, and that it's only by the grace of God that we are saved. So I hope this was a blessing to you. And like I say, in the coming weeks, we will continue to study these doctrines of salvation. I'll just give you a quick preview of what we're going to talk about. Next week, we're going to talk about regeneration. It means the new birth, becoming a new creature in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Then we'll talk about the doctrine of adoption, how God adopts us into His family and makes us His children. The Bible says, as many have received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Then we talk about substitution, how Jesus Christ became our substitute when He died at Calvary. We're going to talk about imputation, how God imputes His righteousness to us. We're going to talk about redemption, which means to buy back, how God bought us back from the devil and from sin with the blood of Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about justification, which we've mentioned this morning, which where God makes us just through Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about atonement, an Old Testament word that talks about the altar and so forth, and we're going to see how that fits in today's salvation. We're going to talk about propitiation, one of those big doctrinal words. It's in the Bible. It means basically reconciliation or satisfaction. We'll talk about preservation, how in Jesus Christ we are preserved and have eternal security. We're going to talk about sanctification, and then finally glorification, which is, if you will, the final gift of our salvation is being able to go and see Jesus and spend forever with Him. But this morning, just a quick review. We've established in talking about grace in relation to salvation that we live in the age of grace. Paul called it in Ephesians 3:2 the dispensation of the grace of God. We saw that the Bible teaches that grace and works cannot be mixed, that they are the polar opposites of one another, as the Bible says, not of works, lest any man should boast, as Paul said, and if by grace, then it's no more of works. And then we saw that what it really means for us on a practical level is that salvation is a gift. that God offers it to us as a gift based on the merits of what Jesus did. And then lastly, we just drove home these great truths through the scriptures that we are saved by grace. Our God is a gracious God. And we have so much to be thankful for that God loved us enough that through his graciousness, which is, well, as it says in James chapter 4, he giveth more grace. There is no limits on God's grace. But through God's graciousness, he has given us the gift of eternal life, the gift of salvation, because he is gracious. So, if you had to pick some scriptures to memorize, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, if you don't know them already, they say so much. For by grace are you saved. So, first of all, it says we're saved by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. So, there's the faith part that we talked about last week. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So there it talks about how salvation is a gift, which is, again, the true meaning of what grace is for us as Christians. And then it says not of works. So there again, it drives home the great point that grace and works can't be mixed. And lest any man should boast. And that, of course, says if we could be saved by works, then we'd be like the cults and we'd boast that we were the only ones and we could earn our own salvation. When we got to heaven, we'd boast about it. I made it, but so-and-so didn't. But you know what? All that's ridiculous. We can't earn our way to heaven. We're saved by the grace of God. Which means when we get to heaven, it'll all praise and honor and glory will go to him alone. So I appreciate you tuning in. All of you on the list. If anybody has any questions, type them in now. Otherwise, I'm almost done. Talked about the doctrines we're going to talk about in the next 8 weeks or so, the doctrines of salvation. And we're going to have a proper church service at 11. We're even going to sing a song together. So please tune in at 11 for the morning worship service. But if anybody has any questions, now's your chance to type them in. Otherwise, I'm going to sign off until 11. And get things set up for our church service. Thank you so much for tuning in. Memorize Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 and praise God every day for his grace. The grace of God that bringeth salvation. Hallelujah for that. All right, no questions. God bless you. See you at 11 o'clock. Thank you very much.